Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. Actually, I'm going to read the whole chapter, which is the 13 verses. You can follow it in your pew Bibles if you would like to on page 165 in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. But I want to let you know, I'm not reading from that version today. I am reading from the Good News Bible, and here's why. When I was a senior in high school, I was asked to read this scripture at our baccalaureate service upon graduation, and I was so nervous to read this. I sometimes find it a blessing that the Lord took a shy boy who was afraid to speak publicly and one who didn't like to talk to adults as a youth, and turn that person into a pastor. I sometimes forget, because I'm so comfortable here, that not all of you are comfortable. I remember the time, sorry, Debbie, my wife, my two daughters, and fiance of my daughter in the front. So just for visitors, that's a reference point. Sure, when we were early on in our marriage, I had the liturgist get sick during the service, and I didn't have anyone to read the scripture. And I invited my wife, who was sitting in the back. I said, "Debbie, I need someone to read the scripture. Would you mind coming down and reading the scripture?" And she came down and read the scripture, returned to her seat. And when we got home, she said, "Don't you ever ask me to do that again." And folks remind me that it's not everyone's comfort zone. And the reason I'm saying this is this passage here is following a section in the Bible on gifts. And it talks about how all of us are given gifts to use in your lifetime for God, for others, to love other people. And we all have different gifts. And the Lord worked with me to give me a piece about being in the pulpit. But that's not everyone else's gifts. And I think about all the different professions that many of you did in your lifetime. And I would think how fearful I would be to try to do what you do. So today we're going to hear about love. 1 Corinthians 13 is that classic group of verses that describe love, among other scriptures, but this is the classic one. And what a perfect day. We have kids visiting parents. We have folks gathering for celebration of an anniversary. We have milestone birthdays and a cake and a party that we'll have after. We have visitors here for the first time. And so this classic chapter on love. Also to my daughter Megan, her fiance Nico, as you think ahead about your wedding and what scriptures you want, consider this one. Listen to one of my favorite passages in the Bible. "I may be able to speak the languages of men and even of angels. But if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have, even give up my body to be burned. But if I have no love, this does me no good. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. There are inspired messages, but they are temporary. There are gifts of speaking in strange tongues, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. For our gifts of knowledge and of inspired messages are only partial. But when what is perfect comes, then what is partial will disappear. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. Now that I am a man, I have no more use for childish ways. What we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, here in your house, in your presence, we ask you to be with us, that we might put down any barriers that get in the way of receiving what you have for us today. Let us simply be open to the fact that your Holy Spirit is here, and that you have a knowledge of us that is amazing, and you have a love for us that's incredible. Let us be sensitive to your Spirit and hear from you this day, whatever it is you have for us as individuals, and whatever it is you have for us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage from 1 Corinthians 13 that I just read to you is not an isolated statement on love. We put it into context and look at the other writings that the Apostle Paul wrote just before it and just after it, and it takes on a whole new meaning. I wanted you to hear it on the first reading, just as it is, as it speaks to us on what we can appreciate about love and how we can love others. It's a statement about love that we often think about in terms of romance or families or church families and beyond. But let me give you a little bit of background. The Apostle Paul, who started the church in Corinth, this book is Corinthians. It's a letter to the people who lived in Corinth, which was a Roman province, but it was a Greek city with Greek speaking and living people. And so Paul started this church. And when he was with them, they built up and grew in this very busy Roman setting. The church grew and was successful. But the Apostle Paul wasn't one to stay in one place, as he had on his heart the vision of starting many churches. So he moved to another community and there would start a church, and then moved to another community and start a new church, all the while supporting the leadership that had developed in those churches by writing letters. Some letters specifically to one congregation, sometimes his letters to all the congregations. And that's what this is, a letter to the church at Corinth. The best way for me to help convey what this must be like is, prior to serving at this church, I had the responsibility of serving as a district superintendent in our annual conference. And as Debbie and my family know, I had 40 churches to look after. 40 churches, you can't be at all of them, though I tried. You can't be at all of them. You have to communicate. My emails, my phone calls, my contact with the pastors and church leadership was like Paul in caring for the churches. And that helps me understand what Paul was all about. In the verses in Corinthians, in that letter, before he even gets to love, he hits on two subjects: spiritual gifts and knowledge. And both of those were referred to in the reading from 1 Corinthians. But let me share a little bit about spiritual gifts. For when you say yes to God, when God tugs at your heart and says, go love your neighbor, or go strengthen your community, or go get involved in church, or go do something for the betterment of others. When God tugs on your heart, God follows that up by giving you the gifts, the abilities to do those things. When you say yes to serving on a committee or an outreach, God gives you what you need. So this is what happened. This young church at Corinth, they had come together, and Paul prepared them, praying for the Holy Spirit to be on them, that they would take on leadership roles in preaching, in teaching, in administration, in caring for those who were down and out, those who were more needy. There was the role of the church. And people began to get haughty in their new abilities and new leadership. And they were bragging to one another about their spiritual gifts. Oh, I'm a great teacher. I think the church really needs me. I think I'm better than you are at teaching, and so forth. And we don't know the specifics of all of that, but we do know that Paul intervened, and he said to them in this letter, you all think that these spiritual gifts are something that makes you really special. There is one thing that's above all of those. And you heard it said, it is love. If you're a great preacher and you don't know how to love people, your words are meaningless. If you're a teacher or an organizer, you're one who can pull people together and get things done. And if you don't do it in love, Paul is saying, you don't really get it. The Greek language, as many have heard in sermons before, I'm sure, the Greek language has three different words for love. For us, we have one word in English. So on Valentine's Day, we say, I love you. That could be a romantic I love you. That could be a friendship I love you. That could be a lot of different I love yous. We have one word for love. In Greek, there were three. The first one was eros, the romantic love, the passionate love, the love between lovers, eros, from which the word erotic comes, but the word that explains the passionate love between two people. That's not the word used in this portion of Scripture. That's one of the definitions of the word love. The second is philios, which is like brotherly love or sisterly love or love that people have within the church. My daughter Hannah is a senior in high school, and I've had the opportunity to be around her and them, either because Debbie and I are the kind of parents that are at school every time there's an event. Hannah's a cheerleader. If she's cheering, we're there. If she's running track, we're there. You know what we're talking about. You know what I'm talking about. But Hannah and her friends, they often, when partying, they'll say, hey, love you, love you. They throw around love you quite freely. And it strikes me as so sweet that these high school friends love each other. Boys, girls, they say, hey, love you, you know. And it's that kind of love, which is philios. And it's that kind of love that is also referred to in the Bible. For how can you not be a part of a church where we worship together, we fellowship together, and we're together during the hard times? When folks are in the hospital, or when there is a loss of life. And Sandy read today about a number of deaths that we've had. This church has a gift of love to surround those families and individuals in ways that are amazing to me and mean a lot to me. The gift of love in times of hardship. It's wonderful. The third definition for love in Greek is agape. And some of you are familiar with that word. We have a fellowship group here in the church by that name. The word agape is the God kind of love. And the best way I could explain this one is that verse, which is familiar to many of you, that says that there is a God who loves us unconditionally. There is a God who loves us whether we deserve it or not. There is a God who loves us, well, in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves us so much that he was willing to give his Son to die, crucified, resurrected. And you know what? God not only loves us collectively, if you were the only person on planet Earth, God would have given his Son to reconcile you back to himself. How do we know that? Scripture tells us that Jesus told a story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. 99 of them were safe with the shepherd. One of them was lost. And the shepherd left the 99 behind to go look for the one. Maybe you're the one. Maybe I'm the one. But whoever it is, the Lord loves us that much that even for one person, the greatest gift would have been given and was given. When we understand the love of God, whether we deserve it or not, and we don't, whether we understand it or not, or whether or not we keep God at arm's distance or don't know how much we really believe in God, we are loved by God. And when loved by God, our life begins to change and our heart is warmed. It's no wonder that Valentine has as its symbol the heart. For heart is that symbol of love, and it's where God touches us. I have to read you a story today because this illustrates what I want to share. The setting is Pittsburgh. On a very cold, icy, snowy day. How many of you know what that kind of weather is like? Bruce Thielman tells the story of a church elder. A church elder is a leader in the church, someone who volunteers in the church, who showed what it means to follow Jesus. A terrible ice storm had hit Pittsburgh, making travel almost impossible. At the height of the storm, a church family called their pastor about an emergency. Their little boy had leukemia, and he had taken a turn for the worse. The hospital said to bring the boy in, but they could not send out an ambulance, and the family did not own a car. The pastor's car was in the shop, so he called a church elder. The elder immediately got in his car and began the treacherous journey. The brakes in his car were nearly useless. It was so slick that he could not stop for stop signs or stop lights. He had three minor accidents on the way to the family's house. When he reached their home, the parents brought out the little boy wrapped in a blanket. His mother got in the front seat and held her son, and the father got in the back. Ever so slowly, they drove to the hospital. Says Thielman, they came to the bottom of a hill, and as they managed to skid to a stop, he tried to decide whether he should try to make the grade on the other side or whether he should go to the right and down the valley to the hospital. As he was thinking about this, he chanced to look to the right, and he saw the face of the little boy. The youngster's face was flushed, his eyes wide with fever and with fear. To comfort the boy, he reached over and tousled his hair. Then it was then that the little boy said to him, "Mister, are you Jesus?" Do you know, in that moment, he could have said yes, for him to live with Jesus Christ. People who piddle around with life never know moments like that. Loving as Jesus loved requires courage. When we understand that God's love for us is so sincere, so genuine, so deep, so rich, and when we come to receive that and allow that God to grow in our hearts, it is then that people can see Jesus in us. It is why the little boy looked at the man and said, "Mister, are you Jesus?" I submit to you that the love of God can transform a church, a family, a generation, can transform us into being the people that God wants us to be. Let us be that church that loves one another. When there's a need, pick up the phone and call. When there's a need, get in your car and go. When there is somebody in need, be the Christ for them that we are called to be. And when we think of these words in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, God is patient, God is kind, God loves us and calls us to love each other, for God is love. Amen.